Welcome to the Gridiron Podcast. Whether you're a returning listener or a new listener, welcome to the podcast. If you're on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. If you're on another platform, make sure to follow and like. That would be helpful. Thank you. Now, Mike, the regular season and the Super Bowl is now complete. Good job to the Philadelphia Eagles for winning the Super Bowl and taking down the Kansas City Chiefs. And we're gonna do a little bit of a recap of the Super Bowl, kind of give our thoughts on certain things. Now, one question that I've had after the Super Bowl happened, seeing how each player played, is what is Travis Kelce going to do after this season? Obviously, he's a longtime veteran. I believe he's now 37 or 38 years old. So he's getting up there in age. What do we think he is going to do going forward?
Yeah, as you mentioned, he's an older player. He is 35, but nonetheless, still very old for a tight end. So from the reports I've seen already, obviously this could just be because it was after the Super Bowl. He gave the team an emotional speech to kind of propel them forward. Now, reports from that speech are talking about that was him basically saying that was his last game. Now, is that true? Obviously, we don't know because it's right after the Super Bowl. The emotions are very high. So whether that's accurate or not, we still don't know. However, Nick, from what I saw in the Super Bowl from Travis Kelce, it was not good.
Yeah.
I can go all day about, you know, his performance, but the main things I saw from him were just so un-Travis Kelce-like. It made me concerned. It made me, you know, really think this could be it. Now, for a 35-year-old tight end, he's been through it all. He's won Super Bowls, injuries. I mean, it's hard. It's a difficult sport to maintain and continue to play season after season for multiple years. The main things I took away from it was his performance against Josh Sweat, who had an amazing game, by the way. He could not block Josh Sweat for the life of him. Now, Josh Sweat is an edge, and Travis Kelce is a good blocking tight end. He is, but he could not block him. I mean, he only got a couple hands on him a couple times, and Josh Sweat got through, and next you know, Mahomes was sacked. Nick, I want to ask you, did you see the same performance from Travis Kelce that I did?
Yeah, I saw a very lackluster performance out of Travis Kelce. Not something I was expecting going into the Super Bowl. I knew that Kansas City, I've said it all season and all season long, Kansas City has not impressed me offensively. Did I see Travis Kelce getting 4 catches for 39 yards? No. And like you said, not being able to block Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat is on the smaller side of an edge rusher. Let's put it out there. He is, compared to some of the other edge rushers out there, he is on the smaller side in terms of height and weight, but he makes up for it in quickness. And seeing Travis Kelce drop the ball a lot, I mean, he had 0 catches in the first half. It was not what I expected out of Travis Kelce. Now, to go off on that speech that he did after the game, I kind of saw it as a retirement speech to his team. Obviously, if you have a real retirement speech, you're going to do it to the press and the NFL fan base, not just your team. We saw the same thing out of his brother after that Super Bowl loss. And we saw it out of multiple different players do the same thing where they do an individual speech to their team after their last game or them wanting to get traded, right? I'm not saying, I don't think Travis Kelce wants to get traded. I think he's most likely retiring after this year. I feel like he's done a lot in his career. Won Super Bowls. He's lost Super Bowls. He's had really good seasons, all pro seasons, Pro Bowls, you name it. He's done it.
Yeah.
And I think him doing that podcast with his brother, I think he can just easily switch into that and still make a stable living.
Yeah, as you talked about, his season is, or his legacy, I should say, is definitely remarkable. I mean, he's in the conversation for being an all-time great tight end. You know, the stats are there, the touchdowns are there, the receiving yards, Super Bowl wins. I mean, it's impressive. Even though I dislike the Chiefs, I will say Travis Kelce is definitely a great tight end, Hall of Famer, no doubt. I want to go back to the things I saw in the game in the Super Bowl, which, you know, lead me to believe that was his last game. His breaks were not as good. You know, his route running was kind of lackluster, as you'd called it. There was a play where I saw he just ran straight. It was just like straight and then just turned around, and Mahomes was getting sacked. It didn't matter, but he was kind of throwing his hands up. And I don't know if it was the frustration because the Eagles were dominating that game or if he just wasn't giving effort. You know, as I go back to the blocking, it wasn't good. So I don't know if it's just the age, the frustration, everything combined in that game, which made him kind of break down. But I think we both agree that we just saw Travis Kelce play his last game.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer, even though, like you said, I dislike the Chiefs. He has that type of career. He broke the Chiefs touchdown record and he's won Super Bowls. I believe he has a Super Bowl MVP. I could be wrong on that, but I do think he does have a Super Bowl MVP. He even beat his brother in a Super Bowl. So you think about everything combined, he is definitely a Hall of Fame caliber player. And like you said, I feel like a lot of his routes were just lackluster, not giving effort at all. So I definitely feel like he played his last game.
I have a curveball for you. Do we think Taylor Swift has some sort of input on Travis Kelce's future?
No.
You think that Taylor Swift is not going to be in the decision of him playing next season or retiring?
I don't think it should. And if it is, that's not good. Because if you want to play, play. Or are we going to see another Tom Brady situation where he comes back to football and his wife divorces him? Like, are we going to see that? I really hope that Taylor Swift doesn't have input on this. I mean, yes, we did see Taylor Swift get booed at the Super Bowl, which is unbelievable, to say the least.
Yeah.
And that could play a factor in it, the fact that she was booed, because Travis Kelce was visibly upset about that, seeing her on the Jumbotron and hearing all the boos happening. So it could play a factor, but I don't think it should.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that curveball out there because, you know, why not? Got to bring in Taylor Swift when talking about Travis Kelce. That's the headlines with Travis Kelce, you know, got to bring in the Swifties.
True. But to the next point, I mean, we kind of touched on it. The fact that the Eagles won this game in the trenches. Now, I saw a stat, and I actually sent this to you over text. And if you were to guess how many times the Eagles blitzed this entire game, what would you think before even seeing that stat?
Yeah, I easily thought it was over 50% when I saw it. I mean, it was ridiculous when you sent me that stat. I thought it was easily over 50%.
It was zero times. They only rushed four the entire time. And I was sitting there with my family and I was like, they're only rushing four. And really, you have 5 to 6, maybe 7 people protecting Mahomes. And they sacked him 6 times.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I knew going into this game that the Chiefs were having problems at that left guard spot, and I knew they wanted to move around some interior linemen, maybe to pick that problem up, and they didn't change anything up, it seemed. So to me, the Jalen Carter draft was the win right there. He's just an interior animal. Obviously, as I mentioned before, Josh Sweat had a great game. The Eagles just, I think they wanted this more, or they had a really good game plan coming into this game.
And I was seeing all the reports going in. The Eagles had six players with flu-like symptoms going into this. After landing in New Orleans, six of them went down with the flu, five of them on the Chiefs as well. So there was something going on in New Orleans. But kind of to talk on Josh Sweat, that may have been his last game as an Eagle, because he's becoming an unrestricted free agent going into this next season. Now, let me ask you this. After that performance, do you see the Eagles re-signing Josh Sweat?
Yeah, I've actually kind of been doing some research myself going into this offseason. This performance from Josh Sweat was incredible, definitely boosted his market value. I do see the Eagles trying to re-sign him. However, there's teams out there who have a larger cap space who are able to maybe overpay for him, like the Commanders, for instance. So I don't see the Eagles being able to retain him. Not that they won't offer him a contract, but he will probably get something better in the offseason.
I agree. And we didn't see a super great game out of Saquon Barkley to the standard that we normally see Saquon Barkley. The Chiefs were able to stop the run. You see the Eagles doing a lot of play action, and it worked, including a play action pass to the first Alabama player to ever score a touchdown in the Super Bowl, Devonta Smith.
Yeah, which is incredible, because I did not think that was the first Alabama receiver to score a touchdown. You know, the amount of Alabama players that come into the NFL, you would think one of them would have a touchdown in the NFL. I mean, I just never thought about that, which is crazy when you sent that to me. I was like, there's no way. Is that true? I had to go look it up for myself, and lo and behold, it's true. I mean, that was just an incredible stat. I just found that really interesting.
Yeah, and we both pretty much knew that this game was over at halftime, especially after the first half performance by Patrick Kermit the Frog Mahomes.
Well, Nick, you and I talk about how great he is, and we're annoyed by how much he can win, but this game just, I don't know what happened to him. He did not play like Mr. Patrick Mahomes. He was incredibly bad. Now, that's credit to the pressure from the defensive line from the Eagles. Patrick Mahomes had a really bad pick to Cooper DeJean, which, even if you look it back over, that's not even an open throw. So I don't know where Mahomes was throwing that, but that pick six kind of just felt like the dagger that was just like, it's the Bucs Super Bowl all over again. So what do you think about Mahomes? What do you think happened to Mahomes in this game for him to perform like that?
Yeah, I feel like Mahomes felt like he was under a lot more pressure than he was. I saw some of the times that he had a clean pocket and he was running out of the pocket for no reason. He just felt like he was rushing things a little bit too much and overthrowing it, underthrowing it. I believe that pick that Cooper DeJean had was to Noah Gray, who was like 10 yards down the field from Cooper DeJean. So he was definitely underthrowing it. And congrats to Cooper DeJean. He's the first player in Super Bowl history to score a touchdown on his birthday. So congrats to the rookie Cooper DeJean. And I think Mahomes was just flustered out there. I think he was trying too hard to get that three-peat, because that's all everyone was talking about. Will they three-peat? Will they three-peat? Will they be the first team to ever three-peat in the Super Bowl era? I say the Super Bowl era because your Green Bay Packers did it two separate times in the national championship era. Now, everyone was talking about the three-peat. Let me ask you this. Do you think in our lifetime we will ever see a team that has the opportunity to do another three-peat?
Absolutely not. I think it is way too difficult to three-peat. Obviously, as we saw from the Chiefs, I mean, two is it going back-to-back is already impressive enough, but I don't think a team can three-peat. It is just way too difficult, especially with how the league is going toward these younger, faster players who are just athletic. And I think since there are so many players on each team, I mean, eventually it's like some teams are going to catch up, some teams will fall. So it's just the way the NFL works. I think it's moving toward that more competitive era. Yeah. I mean, yeah, just that, you know, younger generational talent. That's what I'm looking for. So I think it's just becoming way too competitive nowadays. I think that when teams are structured like the Eagles, they can beat a team like the Chiefs. So I don't think a team will ever three-peat again, or will have a chance to.
Okay. I can agree with that because, like you said, the younger, faster talent is coming in. We see teams picking up fast receivers, fast running backs, fast linebackers even. You look at every team in the league and you can pinpoint a fast player who can change the outcome of a game. Now, obviously it was 40-22, and the first half alone, the Chiefs had 0 points. I believe, I could be wrong, I believe that is the first time in Super Bowl history that a team has scored 0 points in the first half.
Yeah. Nick, I wanted to go back on a point that, you know, we kind of talked about, but we didn't mention it, was the, I mean, we talked about Patrick Mahomes and his offense, but I don't know the game plan that Andy Reid had coming into this game, because the first two drives the Chiefs had, they ran the ball once, and that was it. We look at the stats on the running for the Chiefs, and we got Pacheco, we got 3 for 7, Kareem Hunt 3 for 9, and Mahomes 4 for 25, most likely when he had to scramble the pocket. Why didn't the Chiefs utilize Pacheco, and why did they step away from the run game as a whole?
I don't even know how to answer that, to be honest, because all year we've been seeing the Chiefs kind of utilize the run. Obviously, you have players like Pacheco. You have players like Kareem Hunt. You have those players that can run the ball. Now, I don't know if Pacheco may have been hurt or Kareem Hunt may have been hurt, but there is no reason for Andy Reid and the Chiefs to not utilize the run, especially when they only had 2 first downs the entire first half. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. 2 first downs in the entire first half. I don't even know how that happened. It was just, we talk about, I'm going to throw a little shade at you. We talk about the Green Bay Packers constantly running the ball. The Chiefs did the opposite. They just kept passing the ball. And that's why rushing 4 was able to work for the Eagles. They didn't have to worry about blitzing to kind of load the box because the Chiefs were not going to run the ball. So Andy Reid either wasn't prepared for this Super Bowl or didn't know what he was getting himself into or was just completely lost. One of those three, I don't know, really. It makes no sense that you don't run the ball. I mean, you only ran the ball realistically 7 times. Designed runs, might I say. Designed runs. 7 times the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, I just got to say that Vic Fangio really just outplayed Matt Nagy and Andy Reid. I mean, had an answer for literally everything. They dropped 7, rushed 4, as we talked about. I mean, like you said, if they're not going to run the football, why load the box? So you got guys like Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Darius Slay, you know, just they had an answer for everything. So, I mean, they just really outplayed the Chiefs. Chiefs had no answers. Coaches had no answers. Coordinators had no answers. It was just predestined, I guess you could say. The Eagles really came in with the game plan, and they just looked like they wanted it more. So credit to the Eagles, and Mahomes just had a really bad game. I will give him credit because after the game in the interviews, he took all of the questions from the press and he took accountability. And to be able to do that is, it takes a lot. It takes a lot for a person after a Super Bowl loss to really say that was on me, because we all can talk about Mahomes' performance, but you know, he's still a great quarterback regardless. But to be able to go into press and talk about his bad performance after losing the Super Bowl, it's, I gotta give him some credit.
It wasn't on anybody else. The quarterback is the leader of the entire team, right? Offense, defense, special teams. The quarterback is that leader. And for him to be like, hey, it's on me, not saying, hey, it's on Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce played lazy. Hey, it's on the offensive line. They couldn't hold their blocks. Hey, it's on our linebackers who couldn't get a tackle in the open field. Hey, it's on our cornerbacks who was able to allow A.J. Brown wide open for a 12-yard touchdown or get burned by Devonta Smith. It's not saying that. He's saying, this game is on me. I take full responsibility. That is huge on Patrick Mahomes' part. And like we said, congrats to the Eagles on the Super Bowl win. And hopefully this next coming NFL season is going to be another big one. Now let's talk about the offseason. So as you guys know, we're a weekly podcast, right? And this offseason, we have a couple of plans. You guys will see those plans into action in these episodes. And we are going to continue making content in the offseason and talking about trades, draft, mock drafts, and then potentially a very special episode that Mike and I have in the works. So hopefully we could be able to do that episode. But yeah, I mean, this offseason is definitely going to be a good one. We have the draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin, this upcoming year, 2025, and hoping to build on it even more.
Yeah, Nick, I'm super excited for this offseason. We have a lot of plans in the works, as Nick talked about, discussions that we would love to bring to you guys and ideas. The thing I'm looking forward to, I guess you could say, is next season, because this season flew by. I mean, I had a great time being able to talk about the NFL, especially with you, Nick, because you and I, even before this, talked about the NFL like crazy. So to be able to go from text messaging back and forth to being on a podcast, this was a great idea, and I'm glad that we did this. And I hope you guys enjoyed, most importantly, because we had a lot of fun doing it. And yeah, I'm so excited for this offseason, especially next season.
And if you guys want to see any type of episode, let us know in the comments. We look at every single one of your guys' comments. We respond to your comments. So please let us know what type of episode you guys want to see us do. And yeah, this episode, this season flew by. It feels like yesterday we were doing the live stream for the Packers versus Lions watch party. We want to try to do more watch parties for you guys. We had a little bit of technical difficulties in the first watch party, so we will try to get those fixed and hopefully bring some more watch parties to you guys in season two. We will be continuing season one in the off season, and the first episode of season two will be the draft recap. So hopefully you guys stay tuned throughout the rest of season one and further seasons to come. And yeah. But thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Gridiron Podcast. If you are a fan of the NFL and enjoy content covering football, then you should definitely consider hitting that subscribe button, because we are here every single Thursday on Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts. Yeah, see you guys in the next one. Peace.